I wonder tonight if you have a Bible with you. You turn with me, please, just to a couple of verses of Scripture. I'd like to leave them with you as we bring a word of personal testimony. One verse is found in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 6, and in verse 3. The book of Genesis, chapter 6, and in verse 3. There the Bible says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And then in the great prophecy of the prophet Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 3, and in verse 17, verse is very dear to my heart, the Bible says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning for me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Then one other verse from the New Testament, from Paul's epistle to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, very familiar verse of Scripture. The Bible says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Amen. May God bless to us the public reading of those few Scriptures from His truth. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer, please. Our loving God and our eternal Father in heaven, we thank Thee again tonight for the amazing grace of God that reaches down and saves men and women. We thank Thee, Lord, that the grace of God hath reached us. We thank Thee, we can say with the old hymn writer, how amazing God's compassion that such a worm as I should experience God's great salvation. We say, it reaches me, it reaches me, wondrous grace, it reaches me. Lord, as we would seek to tell how Thou didst intervene in our life, we pray for help from heaven. We pray just now, Lord, that You'll touch my lips with a life coal from off the altar and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Cleanse me in the precious blood. Help us to exalt Thy Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Bless each one bowed now in Thy presence. Bless every child of God. Encourage them, strengthen them, build them up in their most holy faith. And our Father, should it be those in our gathering and have never come to Christ, we pray that even this very night they too may come and receive our Savior, whom to know is life eternal. Be with us now, Lord, as we wait on in Thy presence, for we ask all these things in the Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I have been told that you've had a great week of meetings here in Lurgan with Dr. John Douglas, and I would expect nothing less, of course, from Dr. Douglas, and I know you've been feasting all week on the strong meat of the Word of God. So they very graciously thought you would need a wee drink of milk. And they bring me here tonight to give a word of testimony. And we trust the Lord will bless this testimony. There's a friend of mine, Brother George Bates. And when I was going to Canada and Alberta many years ago for the Free Church, I was talking to George at a meeting. He says, "Fred, I'm going to give you a couple of tapes." And he says, "My testimony is on two tapes." Now he says, "Don't be thinking that I'm very proud of myself that it takes two tapes, 90 minutes each, to give my testimony." But he said, "I was preaching," he says, "I was giving my testimony for Pastor Dennis Lyle, And he says, I kept saying, I would love to tell you this, but we haven't time. I would love to go into it, but we haven't time. So he says, Dennis Lye says, come back some night and take the time. So he says, I went back one night and I took the time. So when I was sitting out in Alberta, I put the tape on, and there for 90 minutes, the first tape, and another 90 minutes, the second tape, we nearly got all his testimony. Now, I don't want to be like that tonight, because I want to tell you tonight and quickly, because I know there's a cup of tea for folks, and we don't want it to be stewed. So it's good to be with you, and we trust the Lord will bless us. I was speaking at a meeting just the other week in Portadown, and they advertised the Fred Greenfield story. What a story about Fred Greenfield. And this is what it said. Nothing sensational, nothing sinister, but how God saved him and made him a minister. Must have been a poet wrote that. And the poet laureate. But that's the truth. Nothing sensational, nothing sinister, but how God saved us and called us into the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was born in 1900, and none of your business. Hey, what date that was? Well, if you are worried, it was 1948, and I thank God that I was born into a Christian home. Now, it was a new Christian home, because I was born in the month of December, and in that September, my father had trusted Christ in Little City Mission Hall on the Donegal Road in Belfast. And then in October, my mother had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her own and personal Savior in that same mission hall. When I tell you that the city missionary in those days on the Donegal Road, and what we called the Library Hill in the Little City Mission Hall, was a man called John Gervin. I'm sure many of you folk would know him. Became the Reverend Dr. John Gervin and moderator of the Irish Presbyterian Church and ministered here in Lurgan for some time. And I am one of two, I think it is, Free Presbyterian ministers who have their names in the life story of Dr. John Gervin. You say, Fred, how did you get in it? Well, it's like this. Dr. Paisley's in it, of course, as the moderator of the Free Presbyterian Church. And I'm in it. And I'm in it because when I was born into a Christian home, a brand new Christian home. And my mother and father were so delighted, if you believe, that they got the second blessing when I was born. They're just saved September and October and December. I come along, and my mother bought a beautiful big prom. The wheel be about it. But we lived in a wee house in Belfast, and they couldn't get the prom in. And so, John Gervin, he went back to his former trade, and he came and moved the stairs and moved steps so they could get me, well, maybe I was even bigger than the prom, get me and the prom into the house. But it's a great privilege, isn't it, to be born into a Christian home. And young people here tonight, don't ever despise that greatest of all privileges of being born in a home where you're taught the way of salvation. When I look back on my life, I can't really remember a time that I didn't know that I needed to be saved. I heard it in the house. I heard it at Sunday school. I heard it in children's meetings. I heard it in the Boys Brigade Company to which I belonged, in the Donegal Road Methodist Church, the 38th Company. I heard it from the Bible class leaders. And when I was a young fella, my parents technically belonged to Donegal Road Methodist Church, but they went down every Sunday night to the city mission and heard the gospel. Oftentimes, I would go down to Apsley Street, Elam Church. I loved the music, and there's always great musicians and singers and people coming along, and I often went down with some of my cousins down to Apsley Street. Although some nights, if I was going somewhere in a hurry afterwards, we went across the road to the Church of Ireland, but they always let you out dead on time. And we went there. So we're sent along to church. I had to go to Sunday school in the Methodist church. And when I come home from the Methodist church, after being in the Bible class on Sunday morning and church on Sunday morning, and then in the Sunday school on Sunday afternoon, and when I come home, I had to go to another Sunday school that was in the Brethren. So you have the Methodists, the Church of Ireland, the Brethren, the Elam, and the City Mission. I used to say to my mother, if I had to go to two Sunday schools, all my friends only go to one Sunday school. She says, in case you don't take it on the first time, you go, and you listen to what you're told there in the Sunday school in the afternoon. I started to play the accordion, but I love music, and later I got a guitar. And I've often said this, I used to watch a program on children's television, and there's a great guitar player called Bert Whedon who taught you one chord every week. So at the end of about 6 weeks, you managed to play a tune, and I learned to play the guitar that way. I love music, and I love pop music, and I love to hear the groups like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and all other singers. But in those days, and then as when you feel old, if you know this and you remember this, the top 20 and the top 10 came on Radio Luxembourg, and it came on a Sunday evening. I think it was about 5 o'clock. So when I went to Sunday school, came home, I often got a great desire to go out for a wee walk, and I took a wee transistor radio, and away I went to hear who was top of the pops. Now, if my father had known that, he would have applied a belt to the seat of learning, and I wouldn't have been able to sit down for a wee while, because it was on a Sunday afternoon, and he would say, you shouldn't be listening to the likes of that. But I loved the music, and that's the way it went. And the day came when I left school, started to serve my time as an apprentice in a factory in Belfast, and going along to the Belfast Technical College. But you know, when I started to work, I thought, well, this is it. Not have to go to church as much, not have to go to all these meetings, do what I want to do whatever I like. And then the factory where I worked, there was a company of those strange religious people called Free Presbyterians. You might have heard of them. I started to work in this factory, and they had a prayer meeting on a Tuesday, and they had a gospel meeting on a Friday. And some of them were very good people. I really liked them. I got on well with them, but they kept badgering me and asking me to go to the meeting in the factory. And a cousin of mine, he asked me to go over to Old Raven Hill Free Presbyterian Church to hear Dr. Paisley. First I said, no chance, no way, I'm not going. And then eventually, after he had asked me time and time and time and time again, he didn't give up. I said, right, I'll go one night, I'll go and hear this man, Ian Paisley. And that was on the 21st of February, 1965. So that, during the past week, I celebrated a spiritual birthday, the same as her brother Clifford, on the 21st of February, 1965. 53 years since I found Christ as my own and personal Savior. I remember going into that meeting that night, and the Old Raven Hill Church was packed to capacity. They were sitting up round the platform. We got a seat away in the back of the gallery, sitting on the stairs that led up to the gallery. And when Ian Paisley began to preach, I remember I thought to myself, if you're going to preach the gospel, that's the way it ought to be preached. Here's a man who really believes And what he is preaching, he's really got convictions about this book, the Bible, and he preaches it with his whole heart and with great power. And as he preached, he quoted a verse of Scripture. It was the first Scripture I read tonight. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And you know, that verse of Scripture really spoke to me. I was sitting in the gallery and that verse, it was as if someone hit me. And he quoted it again, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And that speaks tonight, friend, about gospel opportunity. When God's spirit is working and speaking and striving to men and women, and maybe even in this meeting tonight, that's why you're here, because God, by his Holy Spirit, has been speaking and striving with you. And I remember thinking about it. I know this gospel. I know the way of salvation. I know I need to be saved. I always knew that if I wanted to get to heaven, it wasn't good enough that my mom and dad were saved. I knew I would have to come personally and receive Christ as my Savior. And then I put my hand into my pocket. I don't know whether I was trying to distract myself or whatever, but I pulled out the Boys Brigade membership card. If you ask people about the Boys Brigade, they'll tell you, well, the motto is sure and steadfast. That's right. But I remember on the membership card, it said, for the advancement of Christ's kingdom amongst boys. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then Dr. Paisley mentioned that verse again, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I was reading this verse, seek ye first the kingdom, and hearing the message, my spirit shall not always strive. And I was thinking to myself, this is my opportunity. Maybe this is it. What would happen to me? What would happen to my immortal soul if I don't get saved, if I don't get right with God, if God should stop speaking? I knew the answer. I would be lost for all of God's eternity in a Christless hell. Dr. Paisley made an appeal, sang that hymn, Just As I Am. I put my hand up in the appeal as an indication that I wanted to get right with God. He asked those people who raised their hands to come down, to come into the little inquiry room. I headed down the stairs. I went to go into the inquiry room, but it was already packed with people. And they took me over to the kitchen on the other side, and one of the old elders says to me, son, sit down there. Then a cousin of mine, who had been with me that night as well, he came in, and we sat there, tears in her eyes, didn't speak much. And then I heard Dr. Paisley saying, I'll talk to those young fellas first. And he came into the kitchen. He talked to us and he opened the Bible and he explained to us the way of salvation, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we knelt down at those old chairs in the kitchen, an old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian church, and cried unto the Lord and prayed that God would save us, and he answered our prayer. He saved us. Ask the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and to take away my sin and to make me a child of God. It's a time of gospel opportunity. I wasn't very long saved. In fact, I started to go to the prayer meeting in the old Ravenhill Church that next Wednesday. I started to go to the meetings on a Sunday night. I was still a young fella under the authority of my father. And I was to say, I was brought up in the Methodist Church, was in the Boys Brigade, and doing all these badges and classes and the BB. And my father says, well, you'll have to continue on. But he says, I'll let you go on Sunday night. My mother and father were delighted that I had become a Christian. They were delighted that I was saved, but they weren't too sure about Ian Paisley and the Free Presbyterian Church. Caused them a wee bit of worry, a wee bit of concern. I got involved in the children's work, and then the open air work, the old Raven Hill Free Presbyterian Church, and the prayer meeting, and the late night men's prayer meeting, and the young people's fellowship. And thank God for those days. And then one day I remember my father, we're sitting at our dinner, and my father says, Brad, I've been thinking about it. I says, I'm going to hear something now. He says, you know, he says, I was in the Royal Navy, and I fought in the last war, he says, for civil and religious liberty and for freedom. And he says, son, if you want to go to Paisley's, he says, you can go. For he says, I would rather you would go on with God, with Ian Paisley and the Free Presbyterian Church, than he says, sit here in the Methodist Church. And he says, you might backslide. So he allowed me to go. And I went on ahead. I really enjoyed Free Church, joined the Free Presbyterian Church. And I wasn't very long saved, and I felt that God was calling me to do something for Him. Now, in those days, there were a lot of young people in Raven Hill. And it seemed that all my friends were going away to the worldwide evangelization crusade, a missionary training college in Glasgow. The great movement started by C.T. Studd. And they were all going to the missionary training college. And I was praying and seeking God's will for my life. Does God want me to go to the mission field? Does God want me to go to Africa or India or wherever? I had an aunt and uncle who were missionaries in India. And I went to Dunmurray Free Presbyterian Church, where I'm now the minister. And it was a farewell service for our brother Tom Lewis and his wife Doreen. And Tom went home to be with Christ just a few weeks ago. But Tom and Doreen were going out to the mission field. They were going to live and take the gospel and take Bibles in those days, in behind the Iron Curtain, try to reach those people for Christ. And at that service in Dunmurray Free Church, at that valedictory service, Reverend William Beattie, their minister, he was preaching. And he preached from that message I read there in the prophecy of Ezekiel. And when I went home that night and I reread those verses, that God says to Ezekiel, son of man, I have made thee a watchman over the house of Israel. Later on, it's repeated, and the Bible says, I have not sent thee to a people of a strange speech or to a hard language. And I felt before God that God was directing my paths to the home ministry and to the ministry in the Free Presbyterian Church. I was full of zeal, maybe didn't have much knowledge, applied to the presbytery, and I was told by the presbytery, I was too young, never had a student as young, so I'd have to wait. And Dr. Paisley said to me, son, he says, you've got to wait at least a year. And that year, well, I was brought in before the year was up, but that time seemed to be a long, long, long time. And one night I was reading in personal devotions, and I read a verse, and it says, wait on the Lord. And again, I say, wait on the Lord. And God would teach us just to wait. But you see, there's a gospel opportunity. And I thank God for that time when I got saved. But there's a gospel responsibility on every one of us to share the gospel and to serve the Lord in whatever capacity it might be. In the home, school, college, university, on the factory, in the office, in the hospital, wherever it might be. As Christians, Jesus says, we are the salt of the earth and we are light. We've got to share that responsibility. And I'm very thankful, was accepted, preached the trial sermon, was accepted into the Theological Hall of the Free Presbyterian Church. Maybe Mr. Douglas told you about that great period in church history called the Great Tribulation. That's what it felt like to me in the Theological Hall, going back to study. And then we were ordained to the ministry in Portadown in the Corcrane Orange Hall in 1971 after studying and being a student minister. And in those days, I remember helping out in Lurgan. Reverend Cecil Maneri was the interim moderator at the time, and oftentimes I would do visits for him and try and help him out as I was the student in Portadown. So, precious memories of folk here in Lurgan. Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And beloved, tonight, those verses that I read, it speaks about gospel opportunity. Here's an opportunity even tonight for you, if you know not Christ as your Savior, come to know Him. It speaks about responsibility. Son of man, I have set thee as a watchman. Your watchman. We have to give the message. Bring others to the Savior. But there's also gospel certainty. For Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I couldn't always say for me to live was Christ. For me to live for the time was music. We tried all different things. Me and my cousins, and tried having pop groups and all the rest of it. Things that certainly didn't satisfy. But here's a wonderful thing. Paul said to the Romans, Romans chapter 10, a great chapter about salvation, and in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I called upon the name of the Lord, and I got saved. And the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And the Lord led us, and we've had the great privilege of ministering in different churches of our denomination, both here in Northern Ireland, as I said, for a couple of years over there in Canada. So thankful for our family. Came to know Christ early in life. So thankful now for our grandchildren. So many of them who know and love the Savior. And we rejoice tonight and we say that God is good. And God is good. I remember Ian Paisley preaching and said, "For whosoever," and that's the scope of the gospel, it's for the whosoever will may come, north, south, east or west, rich or poor, Protestant, Catholic, bondman, freeman, Jew or Gentile. It's for you. Shall call. Very simple. Thank God, God's way of salvation is simple. I just knelt there at the chair and cried unto God, "Lord, have mercy upon me." And He heard my cry. I remember one night when I was in the Boys Brigade Company, the dear friend of mine, and he came to know Christ as a Savior, and he witnessed to all the boys. He was a great testimony, and we all called him the vicar. Here's the vicar coming. Here's the vicar coming. But the vicar says to me one night, "Fred, will you come to a meeting?" And I went to hear it. It was Pastor Willie Mullen. And Willie Mullen was preaching on the second coming of Christ. The truths that you were hearing even in the week that has gone by into eternity about the Lord's return. And I remember coming home from that meeting just as a young boy. And I remember going to my bedroom, and I remember taking the Bible and reading through the whole book of Revelation, trying to find something else. I remember sneaking and looking into my parents' bedroom in case they would be taken and I would be left. See, we need to be ready. And the Bible says, if you want to be ready, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It's so simple. And here's the security. You shall be saved. Doesn't say you might be saved. Doesn't say there's a chance you could be saved. It says if you call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. Friend, tonight, as we bring our meeting to a close, Paul had that great gospel certainty. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I am now ready to be offered. And he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. He had an assurance, he had a certainty in his heart and soul that it was well with him and God. And that when this life would come to a close, that we'd be absent from the body to be immediately present with the Lord. Now this book, the Bible, only speaks of two places as far as eternity is concerned. It talks about heaven, it talks about hell. And heaven is a prepared place and is for a prepared people. And old Amos the prophet said, prepare to meet thy God. And I wonder tonight, is it well with your soul? Have you made the necessary preparation? Maybe prepared for many other things, but have you made the preparation in time for God's great eternity? If not, we're your servant for Jesus' sake, and we'd love to show you from God's word and kneel with you and pray with you that this very night you would come to know Christ as your own and personal Savior, that you would know the joy of sins forgiven, that you would know that peace that passeth all understanding and the love of God shed abroad in your heart. But friend, you've got to come. You've got to take the sinner's place. You've got to call upon the name of the Lord. Thank God when you do. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Let's bow together in a wee word of prayer as we bring our meeting to a close. As I said, I'm your servant for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And if there's one man or woman, young person, boy or girl, and you're concerned about your soul, friend, please don't go away. But even as they're having a time of fellowship, there's a cup of tea, come and speak to us. If you've got a Christian friend with you, they'll come with you. They'll only be too glad. If you have someone here you know, like to talk to them, they'll just come. And let's point you to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.